We've been having a great seasons of prayer, 40 to 50 people coming every night. And as their time allots them, allows them, just some more praise reports. Had a great campus pastors meeting yesterday with our campuses. And just a couple highlights. A prominent Muslim attorney in Phoenix was conversing with our Arabic pastors in a small group. And she said, "I don't feel well." And she fell on the ground and began to manifested demonic power. She was, of course, Muslim, and I guess the encounter was very dramatic. Our Arabic pastor cast the evil spirit out of her. She sat up and said, "What happened to me?" They explained, and then she received Jesus Christ as her Savior. That just happened. One of our campuses, a woman was brought there who couldn't walk, who was unable physically to walk because of a bone disease, a crippling condition for years and years. And hearing God's word, receiving prayer, she by faith stood up, took a few steps, and then surprised the pastor by literally running around the church, completely miraculously healed. Outreach to the neighborhood, a Cuban family recently immigrated from Cuba. And they received Christ, and they asked the pastors, and he brought a team over to pray. And he said, "Well, is there anything you need us to do?" "Yes," she said, "I have an 8-foot-tall Santeria altar in my house. I'd like you to help me tear it down." So our pastors went over there, and sure enough, it was 8-foot-tall with all kinds of interesting things on it. They tore it down and carried it out to the garbage. And she said, "The moment I received Jesus, the voices that used to speak to me stopped speaking at me, and I knew that they were angry at me, and I wanted them out of my house." And so that happened. The last 2 weeks, we've given away 450 backpacks filled with school supplies for kids. And in fact, that number will probably double or triple when I include the Flagstaff campus. But that's Surprise and Fountain Hills, and just really cool stuff happening. I'm always a little bit overwhelmed by the incredible things that are happening that I don't even get to hear about, except for meeting with my guys, and so it just was a wonderful time. So just know, like Pastor Lindsay said, that we're seeing all kinds of good things happen, and it's a move of God, it's a move of grace, it's a move of God's Spirit. And really, the main job of leaders here is just not to mess it up. So just don't try to control it. Don't try to direct it. Just, you know, try not to stop it. When God's moving, that's the assignment of leaders. Just don't stop this thing. We're going to receive a second offering real quick. I have a $1,700 bill due for my airfare, the amount that's not yet been paid for my airfare for the trip to England. I don't have the money, or else I would just give it. But if you'd be willing to help, if you want to help with that, that trip's already happened. Minister 10 times in 6 days, had 4.5 hours of vacations there. They took me one afternoon to go look at some sites. The rest of it was just hard work, but it was wonderful. I tell you this, God's doing something there that is important and profound. And I think from these, our commitment to them and our love for the church in England, all across Great Britain, and of course Europe, is starting to create some momentum. So get your passports. I'd love to take about 50 or 60 of you next time. And our supernatural kids did, our students did awesome there. A couple of pastors went also from the campuses, were able to minister. Just was a great time. So if you're able to help with that bill, I'd like to pay for that completely so I don't go to jail. Thank you. I should go ahead and receive that offering. In a 7-day period, beginning in South Phoenix, then in North Phoenix, our city had record rainfall. The weather experts described both of these singular events as 1,000-year flood events. In other words, things that happen by estimation, by weather survey, by historical study, every 1,000 years. When something that happens every 1,000 years happens twice in a week, things have changed. I view that, of course, I'm not taking credit for it. I'm just saying I preached this Sunday before all that happened on the sound of rain, the sound of abundant rain, heavy rain coming. I believe all of this is a prophetic metaphor, a sign from God to the church that we're in a season of accelerated timing. My message tonight is just simply called supernatural timing. Supernatural timing. I believe that the God that we serve is not controlled, he's not captivated, he's not limited, he's not governed by time, but he sits in the seat of heaven, and time is the instrument of his will, and he manipulates it as he chooses. And we're in a season when God's going to do some outstanding things in a brief window of time, in a supernatural window of time. And so my text tonight will be 2 Kings chapter 20. Tell your neighbor, supernatural timing. In those days, now briefly, as this is written, those days are talking about the days when Sennacherib and the Assyrians had come against Israel. So this is simultaneous to the previous chapters. So while the armies of the enemies of Israel have now surrounded them and threatened them, and God's been speaking about deliverance, simultaneously to that, the king of Israel, Hezekiah, is deathly sick. So he's in a perfect storm where the enemy is trying to capture his kingdom and enslave the Israelites and destroy their nation. At the same time, he's fighting a tremendous physical battle. Have you noticed that that's often the way the enemy works in these chaotic trilogies, these perfect storms, the difficulties? So Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, went into him and said, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live." So this was a factual prophecy. It was not a predictive. It was predictive in the sense that it was a fact about to happen. It was not creative. It didn't have a dynamic on it, except that historically, your sickness is greater than your ability to resist it. Your immune system cannot handle it. The Lord says, this is going to take you out. So he's just confirming it wasn't. So there's all kinds of prophets. And so, you know, as soon as it rains, everybody starts prophesying about the rain. That's okay. That's cute. That's fine. But real prophets prophesy before the rain. Okay? And powerful prophecy talks about things that haven't happened. So anyways, he's going to move into the next stage of a prophetic season of creation. And so Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall and prayed to Yahweh, to the Lord, saying, "Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart." He was overall a good king. "And have done what is good in your sight." And Hezekiah wept bitterly. So Hezekiah gets the bad news. Instead of doing what the prophetic word suggested was to plan for his death, he prays to his God. It's never too late for a miracle. It's never too late to pray. Our response should be, when bad news comes, we pray up. Amen? We pray to God. So he's turned to the wall in an act of humility, really, an act of isolation. He's calling out to God. "Remember," he said, "God, my life." And it happened before Isaiah had gone out into the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying. So Isaiah gave the word, the king responds, you know, I'm sure after Isaiah left, Isaiah gave the word, left, he's walking through the different courts of this palace. Before he's left the palace grounds, God speaks to him again. And the word of the Lord was this: "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David, your father, I have heard your prayer and I've seen your tears." I prophesy in Jesus' name that there is a multitude of people here watching, listening, and in the future will hear this tape, that God has speaking to you directly in this season of supernatural timing, that God has heard your prayers and seen your tears. When no one was watching, heaven was watching. God heard your heart cry. God heard your words. God heard your humility, saw your humility, saw you reach out to him. God responds now to this king, especially now. There is often in the exchange, in the interaction between God and kings, God will highlight an act of humility from a king as their office and their ambience, their atmospheric conditions all lended toward pridefulness. So it is still true this day that if you want to get God's attention, show humility. God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. So humility is an attractive quality in the eyes of God wherever it's found. So he's seen his prayers, heard his prayers, seen his tears, and I will heal you, Rapha. So Rapha means to repair, to restore, to cure, to heal, to mend. So God says, I'm going to restore your life, repair your life, mend. I'm going to cure it. I'm going to fix it. I'm going to make it all. So I've got a word for you in Jesus' name. God has heard your prayers and seen your tears, and your healing is here. Your season of life and healing, a new life is here. Your season when your heart is filled with joy again, your body with strength again, your eyes with vision again, your mouth with a song again. Your healing is here, beloved. The God that made you, loves you, knows how to fix you, knows what's wrong with you. And when you cry to him, he answers you and heals you. This is your season in supernatural timing for God to undo a bunch of done stuff, for God to fix a bunch of broken stuff, for God to remove a bunch of hurtful stuff. So he said this, I will do it. I will heal you, Rapha. And on the third day, you'll go up to the house of the Lord. So it's only going to take 3 days. And by the third day, you'll be back at church in the front row, raising your hands, worshiping God, dancing like your grandpa David. You'll be back in your routine that now has been possibly for months and months. He's been out of it as the sickness graduated, his health deteriorated. And so the Lord says, I'm going to reset your strength. I'm going to reset your life. I'm going to put you back to where you were before this action happened, before the enemy attacked, before health was stolen, before your mind was oppressed, before all the avalanche of these difficulties. I'm going to fix it all. And then he says this, I will add to your days 15 years. So the Lord told me there will be someone in the sound of my voice tonight that is expected to die, that will not die, but by hearing this message, hearing God's word, 15 years will be added to their life. So I prophesy 15 years to you, if that's you. And regardless if it's you, it's for all of you. I declare that God's expanding, extending, that every lie, every condition in your life, generational curse, every dispossession, every predisposition to any kind of premature death is broken off of you. I bind the spirit of premature death from you and your family in Christ's name. I'll add 15 years. I will deliver you. Now it gets into some of the motivations of God. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria. So you can see now it's prophetically goes, it fits into at the end of the last chapter, the king of Assyria is conquered, but now all of this is happening before that event happened. So he said, I'm going to do it. I will deliver you. I will deliver this city from the king of Assyria. And I will defend the city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David. Now we're getting someplace, because the purpose of God is always a greater thing than the temporal workings of men. So God uses people for his purpose, but his purpose is greater than people. So God said, I have a purpose for the city. It happens that you're in the season when I'm going to manifest my purpose. I have a purpose for this nation. I promised your great-grandpa David. And because of what I said hundreds of years ago, that continuum of divine purpose lives on. And so I'm going to fulfill the word I gave him in you. You can't die. You're going to live. The devil can't have this city. The devil can't have your wealth. And so God said, everything I'm doing out of a purposeful action for over centuries, over a literal millennia of activity. God says, I'm in this for the long haul. So how do our lives fit into all this? Well, when we capture in our lifetimes the purpose of God for a generation, it qualifies us for protection, for divine healing. Of course, those things are all promised in scriptures, but I'm telling you about a greater anointing than just standing solely in the scripture, absent of a prophetic purpose for a generation. God has a plan for Phoenix, Arizona. If we can keep sharing God's heart about it, he'll defend the city. He will bless us and he will heal us. He will deliver us. He'll provide our needs. If we can find God's plan for our country, for this generation worldwide, for the nations of the world, every nation born of God has a purpose for its existence. Even though that purpose may have been temporarily hidden by the difficulties of deception and the injustices of men and the sinful qualities of leaders, God never forgets what he creates things for. When we uncover the divine design of something, when we uncover prophetic purpose, we awaken a fountainhead of heavenly resources that no other life experience can give us. There's a purpose for your family. You have to get this. God didn't just think of you. He thought of people hundreds of years before you. And so way back then, God planted into your family a purpose. And if you can just uncover your family purpose, you can tap into a rich vein of heavenly wealth. You can tap into a stream of heaven's resources. You can tap into an expression of favor that no other life experience can give you. For my own sake, he said, I'm going to do this. We're living in a time when God says more about this time in history than any other time in history except for the first coming of Christ, the birth of Christ. So the second coming, the last days, are the most richly prophetic season in all of Bible prophecy. In other words, this is God self-identifies this time as the day of the Lord. Not the day of the church, not the day of the saints, not the day of revival. All those things are happening and praise God for them. But it's the day of the Lord. God rejoicing in his heart and mind about the things he's purposed and planned for this time. If we can fully share with God that embodiment of purpose, we can tap into the greatest move of God the earth's ever seen. Okay, so Isaiah said to him, take a lump of figs. I took it, laid it on the bull, and he recovered. It's interesting. So the prophetic word is going to live. Oh, by the way, these figs will help you live. So they took the figs, they put it on the boil, and he recovered. But Hezekiah said to Isaiah, so they're having this dialogue, and this is before he's fully recovered. He wants to believe the word of God, but he's in a weak place. He's hurting, he's on death's door, his world, the Assyrians are about to invade him. Death's about to take him. And he said, what is the sign? Everybody shout sign. In your life, in this world, the signs of God are going to escalate like unlike any time in history. There'll be signs. And so a sign's not just a directional implement. A sign is a miraculous wonder that points people to God. Signs, baby. Get ready for signs, wonders, and miracles. What is a sign that the Lord will heal me? And that I shall go up to the house of the Lord third day. So give me something now that is proof of what God will do by that third day. Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord will do the thing he has spoken. So the shadow go back 10 degrees or go forward 10 degrees. So the shadow, this is their sundial, and then probably in the middle of a courtyard connected maybe to a stairwell. The king can see it from his apartment. And so the prophetic word was, okay, to prove to you the genuineness of this moment that your enemy will be conquered, your health will be restored, and you'll be back in church worshiping, God says, what do you want me to do with time? You want me to push the sundial forward 10 hours, 10 degrees? Could be 10 hours, could be 5 hours, by half an hour implements. We don't know. Let's say it's 10 hours. So, do you want me to go backwards? And Hezekiah thinks about it and he says, okay. It's an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. Now, this is important. Hezekiah said, if time advances, we will have no consciousness of it. So, if you know, if suddenly God just put us into tomorrow, or we're all sitting here, well, that was a cool trip. It's tomorrow, you know, we skip the day. So Hezekiah says, if I get a chance to relive this whole day, if I can watch God go back, I'll have faith to go forward. Now, I'm coming for you, okay? I'm coming for you. So they watch now, either by however God did this, I'm not going to exhaust my limited faculties wondering how. Who cares how? He does it, and from their window, they watch time go backwards. Time go backwards. Isaiah cried out to the Lord. He brought the shadow of the clock, the sundial, 10 degrees backwards, which had gone down in the sundial of Ahaz. Father, anoint this word. The thing that you have to know, there's something in your history that's trying to steal your destiny. And if you'll let God take you back and heal you from what's in your past, you'll unlock your future. Listen, they went back 10 hours and went forward 15 years. That, my friend, is a good exchange. The problem we have is it's difficult, it's cumbersome, it's hurtful. You know, for men, we don't like talking. We just like going from one thing to the next and not really, we don't want to relive pain. We don't want going through it. You know, when my wife talks about it, you say, honey, can we just skip over that and pretend like it never? No, we have to talk about it, everything about it. Oh, my God. I spent the whole day yesterday with pastors. I love my pastors here. We have world-class Christians on the staff of this church in every capacity, from the executive team all the way down to the workers, to your campus pastors, some of the sweetest people I've ever met. And then I was with 35 pastors last night at an event. And, you know, one of the pastors had caused some hurt in our life. And so my prayer was, God, just keep him away from me. Just keep them over there. So thankfully, we weren't seated at the same table. As soon as the meeting was over, they just raced over to Mary and I. I'm like, oh, God. Why is it that people that cause trouble want, you know, they want you to know they didn't mean it, or they're, you know, it's a, just get the hell away from me. Was I think. I was so proud of my wife. My wife just loved on him. And, you know, I felt God's grace for him. I actually felt nothing but love for him, too. Because Mary and I had prayed for him for a couple months now. And it just was a good thing. A wonderful thing. And when Mary and I were talking about the way home is this. The way that we've survived the ministry is by not ignoring the things that have happened to us on the way, but letting Christ deal with them. And that means going back. You see, if you want this relationship to be blessed, you have to uncouple your emotions from the broken one. If you want this year to release the fulfillment of its promise to you, then you have to make sure you're not carrying all the disappointments of previous years into the promise of this year. God never allows one season of our life to have a lingering, lasting, oppressive influence over all the rest of our seasons. But it can if we allow it. So we have to go back before we can go forward. We have to go into our history and let Christ heal us before we can go into our destiny and let Christ free us. We have to, if we want to have everything God has for us. So my word for you is this. There's an acceleration trying to happen. A 15-year release, a supernatural moment. And God says, oh yeah, before we go forward, let's go back not far. It won't take forever. It won't take you 10 years of therapy. If you'll just go through an intense season, just talk to someone, pray to someone, talk to me. Go through rewind class. Do whatever you got to do. Just go through this. Let me deal with this now. Because if you take this little window to deal with your past for 15 years, you'll thank me for this day. Got to go back before you go forward. Jesus said, I know where I've come from. I know where I'm going. When you make peace with your past, you unleash the promise of your future. The sun went down. Isaiah watched God manipulate time. We live in a season right now. It's so pregnant with prophetic promise. And we don't want to let anything, any disease in our life cause us to be incapable of fulfilling the potential of this moment. Often in our life, just before your biggest breakthrough will come your biggest heartbreak. Just before your biggest deliverance will become your biggest disappointment. Just before your destiny moment will come a betrayal season. And the enemy is trying to cripple you. He's trying to trip you. He's trying to stop you. But if you can just let God heal you and take the arm of Jesus and say, Lord, whatever it takes, bless your enemies. Forgive those that hurt you. If you'll just let God take you back, he can't wait to take you forward. Time marched backward. And for 15 years, Hezekiah fulfilled that promise. He lived for, tell someone next to you, 15 years. Come on, 10 hours for 15 years. 10 hours, 15 years, 10 hours. Joel 2:25 says, I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten. I will restore the years. Come on, I've got a word from God for you. And the word from God is there's an acceleration ready to happen. Just make sure, like my wife said Sunday, forgive everybody of everything all the time. And don't let anything hold you down, anchor you down. Don't let your roots be in your past and keep you from growing into your future. But let God take you on the wings of an eagle into the promise of your destiny. Let God move you forward in supernatural timing. Let God do things for you. It doesn't matter how many things were taken. I heard the Lord say, tell my people, I can restore in one dynamic season of healing everything that they've lost. God can restore not just what you calculate you've lost and what you know you've lost and what by experience. God can restore to you the losses of generations in your family. God can restore to a city, a church, family, a business, a ministry, a marriage, a life. God can restore. God can restore. The heart of God, there it is. I will restore the years. I will restore the years, says the Lord. There's a verse in 2 Kings Chapter 8, I want to read this to you because this is very profound. This widow woman had come to King Ahab to make a petition for the behalf of her farm, her livelihood. The chapter begins by Elijah telling her to leave town because a famine would come. The famine would become because the drought that Elijah had prophesied would come. So trouble's coming. And so he wanted to prepare her for it. And so she left for 7 years. It was stopped halfway through. It only lasted 3.5 years. But she was obedient to the word of the Lord. While she's gone, through probably a normal legal channel, of course, it starts raining again. The farm becomes potentially profitable again at 3.5 years into it. So someone, said, she's not theirs. Through legal mechanisms, people took possession of her properties. So she comes back after 7 years. And there's someone else living in her house. Now, I need you to get this. Because poverty is not a financial reality. It's a mental mindset. And when poverty comes, it cripples us from the promise of God and the potential of a season. Because we gauge our potential by the current estimations of our resource. So she has nothing, and so she's lost everything, and but she's going to make a petition. She's not giving up, and now listen to me. Someone's living in her house. You're going to make me go there? Well, Pastor, I wish I had a house. Well, you do. Someone's living in it. I started in 1985. Mary and I started Eagle's Nest one Sunday, and I would pray for 3 or 4 hours to preach for 40 minutes. And so by the time I got to preach, I was tired half the time. But I'm young, didn't know what I was doing, just having fun. And I had a divine encounter in 1985 on Hearn Street in Phoenix, just before I spoke to 50 people at our new church. In the encounter, the Lord said to me, this day I'm giving you a miracle building. And in the vision, I was in a, room, a semicircular room, the piano. I was playing the piano. I was in this room. I'd never been in this church. I didn't recognize the church. 5 years ago, when I walked in the door with Pastor Combs, he was showing me the building that we were taking possession of. I said, I dreamed of this place 25 years ago. God showed me. Now, listen to me. God showed me. Thank God for the people that built this church. Thank you. Someone's building something for you right now. You're almost with me. Building 3 new high-rises downtown Phoenix. It's so good to see our city kind of come back alive a little bit. It's kind of so fun. And I keep building them, baby. Thank you. I'll be coming for it someday, but keep building it now. Work, 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 sinner. Work, 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 atheist. Work, work, work. Work, work, work. Okay. The Lord told Joshua, I will give you houses you've not built, cities you've not built, farms you've not planted. Now, well, Pastor, that sounds like prosperity. I don't care what you call it. It's just kingdom. And the more your heart is completely engulfed in the kingdom, the more resources are untethered and brought to you. So this woman comes and she's going to make her appeal. She's in line, so she's in a waiting line, and the king's not in a hurry. In fact, he's having that day. He just wanted to hear some stories from Gehazi. So Gehazi is telling stories, and he comes to, hey, I got a great story, king. There was a lady, and, she was told she couldn't have a son. God gave her a son, and her son died. And she went and laid him in a room, and someone came and brought Elijah there, and he raised the son to life. And he goes, oh, that's so awesome. And while they're talking about what God did in the past, the anointing that made that happen came into the present. And Gehazi says, hey, there's the woman right there. She's in line. He says, are you the woman? She says, yes, I'm the woman. My son was dead and God brought him back to life. And the king says, well, what do you want? She tells her my story. I lost my property, our farm, because we were out of town. And the prophet told us to leave town. When the king asked her, verse 6, 2 Kings, she told him everything. And the king appointed a certain officer for her, saying, restore all that was hers. It's been with me all day. I couldn't escape it. Tell my people, I'm going to restore everything that was theirs. And then he says, and all the proceeds, the revenue, okay, restore. Repair. reclaim everything that's hers and all the proceeds of the field from that day, 7 years of financial gain, especially the last 3.5 years. So she didn't just get her stuff back. She got the income that stuff would have made her if she hadn't have lost it. Restore all that. So the king is a portrait. It's imperfect, but it's a portrait of the Father saying to angelic powers, I want you to, I'm releasing you. I'm empowering you. I'm giving a word of restoration. Now go contend for my people and bring back into their life everything that was taken. You're going to have things show up. You're going to have broken relationships that have been unhealed and unresolved for years suddenly repaired. You're going to see God begin to put back things in your life that maybe you gave up on. A season of supernatural restoration, a season of supernatural timing has begun. I declare over your life, may God restore everything that is yours in Jesus' name. Everything the enemy's taken, no matter how it was taken, legally or illegally, righteously or unrighteously, no matter who lost it, no matter who blew the deal, no matter what sin, no matter how it happened, God doesn't care. He just says to you, I'm going to restore the years to you. I'm going to restore everything that's yours. It must happen, beloved, that the church is walking in the full embodiment of the restored graces of the cross, that we have the full furnishing, that we have the full equipping of the agencies of heaven given to us in the grace of Christ, that the power of the Holy Spirit is fully implemented in our life. God, there's so much for us as a generation. So I say over the church worldwide, God, restore to her everything that's hers. Restore the miraculous. Restore grace. Restore the fruit of the Spirit. Restore the revelation of your kingdom and word. Everything the enemy stolen, God, bring it back. I'm making my claim for restoration. This is not the season. Listen to me. This is not the season to adjust your expectations to your circumstances. This is the season to adjust your circumstances to your expectations. God wants you to see what you've been missing. And he wants you to dream about what he has for your life and for his people. Amen. When I go to Europe and they say, well, all these churches, you know, 3/4 of the churches are empty of their museums or their mosques now. I don't see that. I see the revival of God. I'm not engulfed by what is. I'm engulfed by what shall be. I was talking with Pastor Benny Perez, who's going to be one of our speakers in our Momentum Conference in October. And we were talking about there's a special experience in the desert. When you can break through in the desert for a bunch of reasons, there's a special grace for desert rats like he and me and like you. People that press through in the desert. Restore all that was hers. Just look at someone next to you. God's going to restore everything that's yours. Just tell them that. Look the other way and tell them the same thing. God's going to restore everything that's yours. My first night, 2 years ago in England, when I was sleeping, the Lord woke up and said, you have an inheritance in this country. Of course, I have ancestry, but, you know, da, da, da. But my parents were missionaries there in Budapest, Hungary. God told me the same thing about Los Angeles, places where my family has been, where I've seen some ministry attempts, unfinished business, and things that I would have not necessarily even calculated that were mine. You have to get this. The devil can't keep what's yours unless you agree with him. He can't keep it. I'm talking about that Sunday. Man, this place is going to go crazy on Sunday. Because there's jurisdictional authority you have in certain realms of life that you have unstoppable favor and undefeatable authority in realms of purposeful kingdom destiny, that once you walk into those arenas, the devil can't stop you. We have to stop ourselves. And the king said, it's in my power. I'm giving you everything back you lost, and I'm going to give you everything back. So I'm not just going to put you to where you should have been. I'm going to give you to where you could have been. Boom, boom, boom. I know what it's like. Mary and I, we started over in life with nothing at 45. And because I started so early in the ministry, it felt like, you know, I look at 45 now and don't think it's very old age. But when I was 45, it felt like this is kind of late to be starting an enterprise, to be starting a church. And with no denomination, no billionaire finance, just nothing but a promise from God. King says over you. Okay, one more scripture. Amos chapter 9. The whole chapter, the ninth chapter, just unveils such a beautiful prophetic tapestry. And James quotes it in the book of Acts as being in gathering the Gentiles to the church. But as a part, right in the middle of it, the prophetic word was this. Verse 13 of chapter 9. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper, the tread of grapes him that sows seed. Mountains will drip with sweet wine, all the hills will flow with it. Pastor Mark and Lena, I heard the Lord say, I saw you, Pastor Mark, 11, 12 years old. I saw you in a church setting. I saw God put his hand upon you and said, I'm called you. I saw the devil disrupt your life in a violent way, your late 20s. I saw pain, agony come in your 30s. I heard the Lord say, my favor is upon him because he never gave up on the calling I gave him. And the Lord's going to shock people by the things he has for you. He's been incubating you in this church as leaders here. But he's been incubating you for a miraculous assignment that he's going to open up. And I see the window coming closer and closer. And God's going to reconnect you to a past tribe and a past group and a past genealogy and a past even geography. A miraculous event's going to happen. And you are going to be the one they waited for. And God's going to give you a city. God's going to restore people. And God's going to send the wind of the Holy Spirit into a dry bones environment. God's going to do all these things because you didn't quit and you allowed God to resurrect the thing that's inside of you. Oh, get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Something good's on the way. So the imagery is this: the plowman plows the field, the seeds are planted behind that. Then the reaper eventually comes, and he said this: what's going to happen is that the normal cycles of what happens are going to be shortened so dramatically, so supernaturally, that what you say normally takes this much time, I'm just going to do it in a small window of time. God's going to raise up leaders, especially among young people, that when people say, well, how long have you been saved? They'll say, well, I've been saved, 26 months. And people's jaws are going to drop open. And God's going to do things in such a intense and accelerated way. It's a makeup time. It's more than that. It's an advancement time so we can catch up to where God's purpose is. The Message Bible, when I found this a few years ago, just made me happy for months straight. Same verse, yes indeed, it won't be long now. Things are going to happen so fast your head will swim. One thing fast on the heels of the other. You won't be able to keep up. Everything will be happening at once, and everywhere you look, blessings. Blessings like wine pouring off mountains and hills. It's the restoration of Israel, the restoration of the church, all kinds of things. Lift your hands to heaven. God, I thank you for supernatural timing coming to your people, coming to the church. I thank you, God, that you're ready to restore. So I say over your life in Jesus' name, restoration has begun. A season of dynamic, supernatural, accelerated restoration has begun. And there are losses that your mind has even forgotten about that God's going to bring back into the orbit of your thought processes and into the vision of your heart. You're going to see things come back you gave up on never seeing again. Your family gave up on. God's going to attach you to things He's assigned you to. God's going to change the way you view your life and the way you view your future. And God's going to move the sundial of your life. So I say in Jesus' name over you that restoration begins in your life by God pulling out of your history the unfinished business of His kingdom. By God doing a work of grace so profound, so deep, so penetrating, so supernatural that things the enemy took from you yesterday are restored to you tomorrow. That you'll see God do things. God, I pray now for the healing grace of your spirit upon everyone who's been in any way sickened and made sick. Fighting the disease of discouragement, fighting the sickness of sorrow, fighting the weight of depression. Thank you, God, for healing them. Heal them, Jesus. Heal them, Lord. Heal them, God. Heal them, God. Heal them, God. Heal them, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, I feel heaven just getting really close to us now. I will restore. I will restore. I will restore, says the Lord. I will restore. I will restore. I will restore. Someone said, someone here is about to get a phone call from a family member you've not talked in over 7 years. God's healing their heart. He's restoring your relationship. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, just keep worshiping the Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Come on, come on. Just let Him touch you. Thank you, Father. Nothing's too broken, you can't heal it. Nothing's too lost, you can't retrieve it. Nothing, God, is impossible. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. While you're receiving from God, would you just grab, if you're able to, just grab someone's hand next to you. I just want you to speak a prayer of restoration over their life. God, come on, pray. Jesus. I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore.
I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore.
I will restore everything that is yours, says the Lord. Yeah.
I will restore.
I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore.
I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore.
I will restore everything that is yours. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Our families, our life, our finances. I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore.
I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore
everything that is yours, says the Lord. Yeah. I will restore everything that is yours.
I will restore
everything that is yours.
I will restore
everything that is yours,
says the Lord.
It's coming back, it's coming back, it's coming back. Come on, come on. It's on the way. It's on the way. The miracle you've asked for is on the way. I will restore everything that is yours, says the Lord. It's on the way, it's on the way. It's on, come on, he's dispatching angels. It's on the way. It's on the way. I heard you the moment you started to pray. And the miracle you've asked for is already on the way. One of them, or you take three of them. 15, 15, 15. Take, if you're a young person, take six of them. 15, 15, 15. Come on, 15 years. 15 years. 15 years. God, heal. If you need a healing tonight, just raise your hands wherever you are. You need a miracle. Wherever you are. Thank you, Jesus. Keep your hands raised in this moment. of a heavenly visitation. If someone around you has their hand raised, come on, let's pray for each other. I will restore. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command premature death to leave you. I bind infirmity, weakness. I speak to your immune system to come alive. I command every incurable disease to leave your blood, your body, your organs, your tissue, your cells in the name of Jesus.
I will restore.
Everything you've lost and so much more.
I will restore.
Come on, pray like an army. Pray like an army just a little bit longer. Thank you, God.
It's on the way. It's on the way.
I will restore.
I heard you from the moment you started to pray. The miracle you've asked for is already on the way.
Come on, just start prophesying to your family. God, we prophesy restoration to our family, to our siblings, our children, our spouses, our parents, our nieces and nephews, our cousins and aunts and uncles. We prophesy restoration to our family. We prophesy restoration to Phoenix and to CFTN and to Church in the Rock and to America. We prophesy restoration to this resurrection generation in Jesus' name. You're not done. You will restore. You will restore everything the enemy has stolen and so much more. You will give us back what the enemy has taken away. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Altar team, would you join me down front? I need to dismiss service, but let me do it by inviting anyone that wants to pray. Man, if you feel like God's touching you, I'm going to dismiss. For those that have kids and need to get going, but if you want to stay and linger a little bit long, you can. The presence of God is here. Anyone wants to come down for prayer, you're welcome. If you've never received Christ as your Savior, come and receive Him. If you feel God touching you, come and receive whatever He wants to do in your life. We'll pray for you this altar. Come on. I will restore. I love you, an awesome church. Have a great week. Bring some to church with you Sunday. Don't forget nightly prayer. Tell your neighbor next to you, restoration's on the way. Tell them that. God's restoring it. God bless you. God bless you. Hey. I will restore. I will restore.
I will restore.
Everything you've earned and so much more.
Thank you.